Galatians 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? And so Paul is writing to the believers in Galatia here, and he's reminding them that they had begun their Christian life in the Spirit. They got saved. They got born again by believing the gospel. Paul came and preached the gospel there, and they believed it, and they got saved. But because of false teachers coming in, they were told them, you've got to be circumcised. You've got to keep the law of Moses, the ceremonial law, and unless you do that, you're not saved. So they said, okay, we've got to do all this. And they were. Paul says they were. Now they were trying to be made perfect by the flesh. And so our Christian life began in the Spirit, and it's supposed to continue in the Spirit. Yes. We're supposed to live in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. And notice he says here in verse one. If we'll go back to that one for a second, David. He says back in verse one, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? So walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, living by faith, is obeying the truth. Amen. They were not obeying the truth because they'd stopped living by the Spirit. They'd stopped living by faith, and they were trying to be made perfect in the flesh. And they were not obeying the truth when they were doing that. Amen? Right. Praise God. All right, so let's go down to verse 5 in Galatians 3. He says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, praise God, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So God supplies the Spirit to us. Amen. And we're to live out of that supply of the Spirit. Amen. God supplies the Spirit to us, and we're to live out of that supply. Well, how does he supply it to us? Well, we've been hearing a lot lately about what? The supply chain, right? Yeah. About the supply chain. Well, God has a supply chain. But for some Christians, the supply chain breaks down. And they don't get that supply of the Spirit that God wants to supply to them so that they can live in the Spirit. Well, what's the supply chain that delivers the Spirit to us? Well, he tells us, by the works of the law or by the what? The hearing of faith. So it's the hearing of faith that's our supply chain. Yes. Amen. It's the hearing of faith that supplies the Spirit to us so that we can live in the Spirit. So we can't separate life in the Spirit from walking and living by faith. Amen. Amen. So if we're walking by faith, then we're going to keep that supply of the Spirit flowing to us. You see that? That's what he's telling us here. Amen. And so in order to live in the Spirit, in order to exercise life in the Spirit, we've got to walk by faith. They're inseparable. You can't separate living by faith and walking by faith and living in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's what I appreciated about Dad Hagin, is he taught us to walk by faith, but also how to tap into and live in the Spirit. Amen. And again, that makes sense because they're so closely connected and they're so inseparable. Amen. So we looked at some things last week that I'll just review quickly here. Number one is this: we're born of the Spirit. What does it mean to have life in the Spirit? Number one, we're born of the Spirit. In John 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So what are we? We're born of the Spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Praise God. So when we come to Jesus, when we're born again, when we receive Him as Lord and Savior, that's what happens. We are born again, and we're born of the Spirit. So that's how we start out. We're born of the Spirit. And then number two, we are to be filled with the Spirit, right? Amen. the disciples after the resurrection, Jesus said, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but not yet. I want you to wait until you're endued with power from on high. You'll receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Amen. And so in Acts 2:4, we see where that happened. Acts 2:4 says they were all, not half of them, not a few of them, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. So we're born of the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. It shouldn't be optional. Now, in one sense, yes, you don't have to. A person can go through their life, accept Jesus, be born again, and never receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And yes, they'll go to heaven, but they'll miss out on a whole lot. Just like you and I missed out on a whole lot before we got filled with the Spirit. Amen? I missed out on a whole lot in my Christian life before I got filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a lot that I've experienced since I got filled with the Holy Spirit that I never would have if I hadn't got filled with the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't be standing here tonight. This church would not exist. You know, sure, God raises up other people and there'd be other places, but this church wouldn't be here if I hadn't got filled with the Holy Spirit. I can trace it back to that. Amen. All right. So we're to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. And then number three, we are called to worship in the Spirit. In John 4, verse 23, Jesus said, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. In the old covenant, they couldn't do that. Their worship consisted of offering sacrifices. Yeah, they had some singing and some music and things like and some things like that, but their worship could not truly be in the Spirit because they were not yet born of the Spirit, and they certainly weren't filled with the Spirit. But now in the New Testament, we're born of the Spirit, we're filled with the Spirit, and so naturally it follows we should worship in the Spirit. That's what God was trying to get to all along, is for us to be able to worship Him as we sang tonight, Spirit to Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Amen. What a privilege that is. Amen. So we're called to worship in the Spirit. And then number four, we can, and we're going to spend some more time talking about this. I'm just going to touch on it right now, and then we'll come back to it. But we can and we should pray in the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit. We are to worship in the Spirit. And we can and we should pray in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. See that? In the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And then in Jude, there's only one chapter in Jude, so verse 20 of Jude. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So we're to pray in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. And we're going to come back and look more in depth at that in a few moments here. And then number five, we are to be led by the Spirit. We are to be led by the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. As many as are what? Led by the Spirit of God. So we're to be led by the Spirit. So life in the Spirit means we're to be led by the Spirit. Praise God. And what a privilege it is to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And so that's God's plan. That's God's purpose for us. The Bible says in verse 16, which I don't think we have for the screen. We won't worry about that, though. But it says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit, not with our flesh, not with our feelings, not with our mind, but with our spirit. Amen. God leads us and guides us through our spirit. By His Spirit. Amen. And then number six, we are called to walk in the Spirit. We are called to walk in the Spirit. In Galatians 5, verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Do what? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So in other words, if you're walking in the flesh, you're not walking in the spirit. You can't do both at the same time. You can't walk in the flesh and be walking in the spirit at the same time. Right? Amen. Verse 18, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So what does it mean? What does it mean exactly to walk in the Spirit? Well, number one, it means to be led by the Spirit. Because look at what he says. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. And then he says, but if you're led by the Spirit. Amen. Well, you know, there are some scenarios in which if you're going to walk somewhere, you have to have someone leading you, right? Maybe it's a path you haven't been on before. And there are places that God wants to take us that we haven't been before. So in order to walk there, we have to be led there. Amen. So to walk in the Spirit means to be led by the Spirit. Amen. And then we go down to verse 22. And he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's no law. And those who are Christ, who belong to Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So again, we get a clearer and more expanded definition of what it means to walk in the Spirit here. To walk in the Spirit means to walk in love. Amen. Amen. Right. You can't walk in the Spirit and not walk in love. Right. Amen. To walk in the Spirit means to walk in joy. Amen. You can't walk in the Spirit and not walk in joy. Amen. To walk in the Spirit means to walk in peace. Yes. Amen. Yes. To walk in the Spirit means to walk in long-suffering. You can't walk in the Spirit and be impatient. Right. Amen. That's what long-suffering is. Right. Amen. To walk in the Spirit means to walk in kind of... You nudging your wife there? Okay, all right. All right. Okay. Okay, Brother Danny, point your finger at yourself and say, the Bible is God speaking to me. Okay. All right. I saw that. All right, to walk in the Spirit means to walk in kindness. Yeah. Amen. You can't walk in the Spirit and not walk in kindness. You can't not be kind and be walking in the Spirit. Amen. To walk in the Spirit means to walk in goodness. To walk in the Spirit means to walk in faithfulness. And to walk in the Spirit means to walk in gentleness. And to walk in the Spirit means to walk in self-control. Amen. Isn't that good? Praise God. So let's go back to our point number four. We can and should pray in the Spirit. I want to spend the rest of the time on this tonight, praying in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. He says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. All right? So, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, let's zero in on that and let's focus on that. Now, we did say from Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There's a little bit broader definition there. It does mean this, praying being led by the Spirit, which means more than just praying in tongues, but it certainly includes that. But here we see clearly, he said, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, what's the next phrase? However, in the Spirit. So notice, can you see these two phrases going together? He who speaks in a tongue, in the Spirit he speaks. He who speaks in a tongue, in the Spirit he speaks. We're not doing any injustice to that verse by pointing that out or putting those two together. When we're speaking in tongues, the point is this. when we're speaking in tongues, we're speaking in the Spirit. Yeah. To pray in the Spirit does mean to pray in tongues. Amen. And then in verse 14, of 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. That's with your mind. That's in your known language. All right? I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. So we see here, so praying in the Spirit is praying in other tongues. And then in the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 14, 14, he says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays." Well, and that, of course, that accords with Acts 2, 4, which says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues." How? As the Spirit gave them utterance. Yeah. And then Paul says here, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. Another way of saying, the Holy Spirit gives me the utterance, I do the praying. Amen. The Holy Spirit, you know, you found this out, I found this out now for me 43 years ago, about this time of the year, 43 years ago, 1979, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I thought, when they prayed for me, I thought, okay, the Holy Spirit's going to take over my tongue and make me speak in tongues. I said, okay, Holy Spirit, here's my tongue. And nothing happened. He didn't take it over and make me speak in tongues. So I found out later, he gives the utterance in my spirit. And then I, as Brother Hagin say, I unhook my tongue from my head and hook it up to my spirit, and I do the speaking. That's where the utterance is coming from. And then that's where I'd step in and yield and begin to speak. Amen? Amen? All right. So let's talk about then the value of speaking with tongues. And I'll get to some quotes out of this. This is a great book that by Dad Hagin called Tongues, Beyond the Upper Room. And I would encourage you, I think I see some copies back there. This is a big one. It's 353 pages. It's not one of those, Barbara, I'm sorry. It's not one of those 30-page mini books. It's 353. But think of it as about 40 little mini books, all in one, all in one. All right, you got them all bound in one neat little package there. All right, so think of it that way. I think there may be that many chapters. Let's see. Let's see here. I found the table of contents. There's 18. So think of it as 18 mini books. All right? Okay. All right. Praise God. So 1 Corinthians 14, 14 again. Let's keep reading that. "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? What will I do? I'm going to pray both ways." He says, "I will pray with the Spirit." And notice he said, "I will." You don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit to move on you some special way, some special anointing to come on you. You can at will pray in the Spirit. Amen? "I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue." So what Paul is doing in this passage is he's dealing with the Corinthians and he's teaching the Corinthians regarding their public worship gatherings. Amen? And if we aren't careful, we can take some powerful things that he says about speaking in tongues and miss them or minimize them by focusing only on what he was trying to tell them in their public worship. He made some powerful statements about speaking in tongues for private use that we need to understand that we can miss if we only see it in the context of the plain context of what he's talking about with their public worship. So he's continuing in verse 26 on that. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together? So again, he's talking about their public worship, right? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn, let one interpret. And so again, he's talking about public worship. And then he summarizes it in verse 39. He says this, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. And so he, as he's writing this, he's thinking, you know, I want to make sure they don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not telling them. Sometimes when you're in the context of correcting doctrine, people tend to go from, see, they were on one side over here. They were this, you know, in public worship, there was excess and there was abuse. And so he was trying to bring them back to the middle. But sometimes when you start swinging a pendulum, it swings over here to the other side. And he said, to make sure that they don't swing this to the other side, I want to make sure they get what I'm saying. No, don't forbid to speak with tongues. You know, don't say, oh, no, Paul told us we couldn't do that anymore. No, he didn't. And Paul's saying, no, I didn't. No, I'm not saying that. He said, I'm just trying to correct the public worship. In private, in your devotional life, you need to be speaking in tongues. You need to be praying in tongues. Amen? All right. And he gives prominence. Paul gives prominence to speaking in tongues. Look at what he said in verse 18. 1 Corinthians 14:18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. And here we get a revelation that Paul was from the south. If it had been from, you know, New Jersey or New York, he would have said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you guys. But we know he's right, Paul. Paul's from New Jersey, so he knows. He's been down here so long, though, that he says you all. And so Paul was from the south, the Apostle Paul, as well as our Paul. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. All right. And, of course, if he'd really been from the south, he would have just said, y'all. Right. Or he could have said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than your mom and them. Yeah. All right. No, but look at what he is saying. Seriously, look at what he said. He said, I speak with tongues more than you all. Now, they were doing a lot of speaking in tongues. He had to correct the excess. He said, listen, don't misunderstand me. He said, I speak with tongues more than all of you. And then he says after that, yet in the church. So what he's talking about, his personal, private life. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. He said, I'm not trying to tell you don't speak in tongues. I'm just trying to show you the best use of it. And in our personal devotional life, he said, I speak in tongues more than all of you put together. That's a lot of speaking in tongues. That's a lot of speaking in tongues. Amen? All right. I speak in tongues more than you all. Here's what Dad Hagin wrote. He said, the Word of God is so simple and plain. Some folks have made a mountain out of a molehill, claiming that Paul was teaching the church that believers shouldn't speak with tongues at all. Paul wasn't teaching any such thing. His wish and desire was that every believer would speak with other tongues. That's 1 Corinthians 14:5, where he says, I would that you all spoke with tongues. All right. He thanked God that he spoke in tongues more than anyone else because he understood the full scope and value of this supernatural gift. Paul knew from personal experience that there is a blessing and a source of power for everyday life found only in speaking in other tongues. Let me read that statement again. Paul knew from personal experience that there is a blessing and a source of power for everyday life found only in speaking in other tongues. So let's explore further what Paul knew about this subject. In the process, we'll find out what the Bible says about the value and purpose of speaking with other tongues. The more we know why we should speak with tongues, the more our testimony can stand with Paul's as we declare in faith, I thank God that I speak much with other tongues. Amen? And I love what he says here, the more we know why. You know, Jerry O'Dell, I've said before at a conference I was at with the O'Dells one time, Jerry said, this conference is about the why. Because if you understand the why, you'll figure out the how. Amen. The why is the motive, the deep meaning and purpose of God behind it. Amen?
Yes, amen.
All right. So we're going to look at the why speaking in tongues is so important, why Paul said, I speak with tongues more than you all. So in verse 17, if we back up one verse to verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 14, he says, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Now, what kind of giving thanks is he talking about? He's talking about a person giving thanks or praying or speaking in other tongues, isn't he? He said, you're giving thanks well, but the other is not edified. Who's the other? That means someone sitting beside you or standing beside you that doesn't understand you when you're speaking in tongues. Why? Because you're not talking to man, you're talking to God. But again, look at the truth here. He said, you indeed give thanks well. So when we speak in tongues, one thing that we're doing is we're giving thanks well. Is it important? Is it value? Is there value in giving thanks to God?
Amen.
I'm telling you, great things happen. Powerful things happen when we give thanks to God. Just ask King Jehoshaphat. Ask King Jehoshaphat if giving thanks is powerful. You know, they went out and they sent the singers and the praisers ahead of the army. And they were giving thanks and they were praising God. And the enemy was defeated while they were giving thanks and while they were praising. Some things like that could happen while you're giving thanks. Again, I refer to this many times, but I just think of it again. That experience I had with my kids, driving my kids to school one morning. And our custom was to pray in tongues. We'd put on the armor of God. And then okay, kids, let's pray in tongues for at least 2 minutes. And we'd pray in tongues for 2 minutes. You say, oh, what good would 2 minutes do? Well, again, we got through praying, and my daughter was in, I guess she was in eighth grade at that time, and she'd already had a couple of years of Spanish, at least. And she said, Dad, I understood some things you were praying. As you prayed in tongues, I understood some phrases. First of all, you said thankfulness. So what was I doing? I was giving thanks well. I was giving thanks well. You said thankfulness, and then the other one was more hands, and the other phrase was that dies. So praise God. In 2 minutes, you know, driving down Highway 306, in 2 minutes, what was accomplished there? Praise God. Amen? So there's value in it. We're giving thanks well when we pray in tongues, when we speak in tongues. Amen. Let's go back up to 1 Corinthians 14:2 again. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. So whenever we're speaking in tongues, who are we speaking to? We're speaking to God, aren't we? Mm-hmm. We're speaking to God. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Speaking in tongues is a supernatural means of communicating with God. So, Pastor, wait a minute. Anytime we're praying, we're speaking to God, right? Well, let's look at that. Are we? Are we speaking to God anytime and every time we pray? Now, we can. It can be that way, but it's not necessarily always that way. Remember 1 John 5:14? Look at this. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. What if we don't ask according to His will? Does He hear us? According to this scripture, the only time He hears us is when we ask according to His will. Right?
Right?
Amen. So not every prayer that's ever been prayed has been heard by God.
Right.
Now, God's not hard of hearing, you know. It's not that He can't hear, but I think it probably comes up to Him like the adults in the Charlie Brown cartoon. Wah, 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 wah. That's about all that they hear, right? we don't really hear what they're saying. So that may be the way our prayers sound if they're not scriptural prayers, if they're not in line with the will of God. But we know this, when we speak in tongues, we are speaking to God. That means God's hearing us, right? That means when we're speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, we are praying what? We're praying the will of God, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're praying the perfect will of God when we pray in other tongues. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Praise God. So, and that agrees with Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 says, in verses 26 and 27 in Romans 8. It says, we know not for what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit helps us. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when we're praying in tongues, according to Romans 8, 26 and 27, we're praying according to the will of God. We're praying the perfect will of God. And it says so here, we're speaking to God. It's a prayer that God hears when we're speaking in tongues. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Praise God. Now, again, let me read you a little bit from what Dad Hagin says here. Sadly, most Christians are not taking advantage of this gift like they should. Some even ask, but is that form of communication necessary? It must be necessary. After all, God provided it for us.
Amen.
Why would God provide us something, a supernatural means to communicate with Him, if it's not necessary?
Amen.
Amen? Amen? It must be necessary. After all, God provided it for us. Paul goes on to say, in the Spirit He speaketh mysteries. I like the Moffat translation, which says He speaketh divine secrets. That's the reason no man can understand you when you pray in tongues. You're talking divine secrets with the Father. And I want to add something else. I'm thoroughly convinced that Satan can't understand you either. I believe that's the primary reason the devil fights tongues so hard, because he can't get in on the conversation. He can't know what... Don't you feel kind of funny anytime, that you're around people and they're speaking another language and you can't understand them, and they're just carrying on, and they know that you can't understand them, and you're wondering, I wonder if they're talking about me. I wonder if they're saying that they think my nose is big or that my ears stick out. I wonder what they're saying, And you always feel kind of left out, right? Well, the devil doesn't like it, because he can't get in on the conversation. He can't know what you're praying about when you're praying mysteries with the Father, so he fights it every way he can. Is there any value in speaking divine secrets with God?
Oh, yes.
Is there?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Emphatically, yes. Otherwise, God would not have given to the church this divine, supernatural means of communication with Himself.
Right. Right.
All right. Praise God. So when we speak in tongues, another thing that happens is, we're edifying ourselves. We're building ourselves up. Again, 1 Corinthians 14:4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Now again, the public side of that, he who prophesies edifies the church. What do we need to do? Both. Amen. We need both. We need the church edified, but personally, in other words, what he's saying is, what prophecy is to the whole church, tongues is to the individual.
Yeah.
Amen. Because when we speak in tongues, we're edifying, we're building up, we're charging up our spiritual battery.
Yeah.
Is there value in that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amen. You ever run across anybody that you can just tell their battery, spiritual battery, is kind of run down? Maybe that fellow you looked at in the mirror this morning. Amen. Well, what do we do when our spiritual battery is run down? Pray in tongues. Charge it up. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. That's what Jude said. We read it earlier, but let's look at it again in Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. I dare say we could all use a little more building up.
Oh, yeah.
I dare say we could all use a little more edifying and charging up. Well, what are we waiting for? See, it's one thing to believe in speaking in tongues. It's a whole other thing to do it.
Oh, yeah.
As with anything in our Christian life.
Right.
It's one thing to subscribe to it. Oh, yes, we believe in it. Well,
right.
Great. Are you doing it?
Right.
Are you doing it? And this is one thing we ought to be doing,
right,
and doing a lot of. Amen?
Amen?
Like Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. I want to say this to you. Praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues is essential to life in the Spirit. If we're going to truly live in the Spirit, if we're going to truly walk in the Spirit, then praying in tongues is essential to that. It's not optional. It's essential. Amen. To fully experience life in the Spirit, to fully live in the Spirit, we have to pray in other tongues. Amen.
Amen.
I remember something that the Keatons said to me when they were here last time. They're friends with a pastor in Texas, and he's older, I guess now, would have to be, but this pastor knew brother and sister Goodwin. And the Goodwins were pastoring in Texas when Brother Hagin was traveling and teaching. He was very good friends with the Goodwins. In fact, I saw a little clip on YouTube of Brother Goodwin speaking at Rhema years ago. This was before I went to Rhema, but he had him in to speak at Rhema. And they were very close. And this pastor friend of the Keatons knew the Goodwins, and he related to them. This pastor friend related to the Keatons that the Goodwins always said this. He asked them, "Mom and Dad Good," they called them Mom and Dad. "Mom and Dad Goodwin, what is the secret?" Because they were very proficient and prolific in the gifts of the Spirit, particularly tongues and interpretation. They ministered that way, and they flowed very strong in the gifts of the Spirit. There were people that were that learned to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and this man said, "What is your secret? How do you do this? How have you become so proficient at being led by the Spirit, living in the Spirit, operating in the gifts of the Spirit?" He said, "Mom," without hesitation, Mom Goodwin said, "That's easy. Pray in tongues an hour a day." Without hesitation, pray in tongues an hour a day. Now that may be, you know, they were in full-time ministry. That might be a lofty goal for some folks, but that's the goal I'm reaching toward. That's the goal I want to achieve. And for you, it might be, you know, if you can do that, wonderful. But if you can't do an hour, don't say, "Oh, well, since I can't pray in tongues an hour, I just won't try it at all." If it's 15 minutes, if it's 10 minutes, but do something on a daily basis. Take some time every day. Again, my kids and I, that's not all that I prayed in tongues that day, but for that 2 minutes, you know, prayed out some powerful things in just 2 minutes. Amen. Think about what can be done in an hour. Amen. So let's do that. Let's be like Paul. "I thank my God I speak with tongues much." Amen? There's value in it, and it's essential. Praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit is essential to life in the Spirit. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your people tonight. And Lord, I thank you that we will not just be hearers of the Word. Lord, we'll not just subscribe to the doctrine of speaking with tongues and say, "Yes, we believe it," but Lord, I think it's something that we'll be doers of. We'll be doers of your word and not hearers only, and we'll tap in more and more to the power of praying in the Spirit, the power of praying in other tongues. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you for it. Just while we're still in an attitude of prayer, I just wasn't going to do this, but I think I should. Let's stay in an attitude of prayer with heads bowed, with eyes closed for just a moment. And is there anybody here you'd say, "Pastor, I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, never spoken in tongues, but I want to. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues. I've never done that." If that's you, I want to pray for you. Would you just raise your hand? Anybody here? All right, praise God. Thank you. Good. Wonderful. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Would you mind coming down here? Let me pray with you. And welcome to church, by the way. Oh, okay. Well, praise God. How about that? You just, God sent you here. Just, you can just come right, stand right here and face me if you would. And so what's your name?
Christy.
Okay. All right. Yes. Well, praise the Lord. Well, in Acts 2:4, it says they were all, I don't know if you were here to hear this part, but I kind of shared a little bit of my story of when I was first filled with the Holy Spirit way back 43 years ago, 1979. And, you know, I had heard about the Holy Spirit. My friends, we were all just, I was a senior in high school at the time, and we were all just kind of stumbling onto these things and didn't have some of the good teaching that we had now, and so we were just trying to kind of feel our way through. And they laid hands on me, and they prayed for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I was sincere. I wanted to receive. I prayed, believed that I received, but I didn't speak in tongues. And my friend that had led me to that Bible study, a few weeks after that, and I had still not spoken in tongues, he said, "Have you been praying in tongues? It's very powerful." And I didn't want to, I was kind of embarrassed to admit to him, you know, that I wasn't praying in tongues. I said, "Well, no, it really hadn't been." And so I went home that night, and I said, "Now, Lord, I know that this is for, you know, that this is for me, that this is your will. And so I thank you for filling me with the Holy Spirit, and I thank you that you know, that I will speak with tongues. And somehow I started speaking in tongues that night. But again, when the what I wanted to get to is that night when they prayed for me, I thought the Holy Spirit was going to take over my tongue and make me speak in tongues. But the Bible doesn't say that. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:4, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The utterance comes up from the inside of you. On the inside of you is where the utterance is. And then we yield our tongue to that utterance, and we do the speaking. So there's an act of faith on our part where we do the speaking. So praise God. So I believe you're just going to step right over right here. So just close your eyes, if you would. I just want to lay hands on you. Father, I lay my hands upon my sister, Christy, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that you filled her with the Holy Spirit. She's asked, and you said, Jesus, you said if we would ask, if a son asks a father for bread, he's not going to give him a stone. If he asks for fish, he's not going to give him a serpent. And you said if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will you, our Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So she's asked, Lord. And so I thank you that your Holy Spirit has come upon her and dwells within her. And I thank you that tonight, Father, that she steps right on over into this experience of speaking with other tongues. Lord, you sent her here, Lord, to receive this and to step on over into this. So I thank you that she receives right now in the name of Jesus. Now, just lift your hands up, if you would, Christy, just in praise to God. And thank you, Jesus. The power of God's on you. You sense that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Hallelujah. Oh, sakatite levasa kudushikete dele vokaranda. Just go ahead and begin to speak that out. Just dele vako kuri. It may just be a syllable or two, but just let it, just speak that out and more will come. That's it. That's it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Keep speaking that out. Yeah. Yeah, keep speaking. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep speaking. Sote katitia de la boshe ketakianda de la vosa kunan. How about that?
There's the Holy Spirit. Make me want to dance.
Glory. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Now you can pray that way at will. Paul said, I will. I will. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's rejoice with her tonight. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I've got a little, hallelujah. I've got a little booklet that I want to give to you. And so praise the Lord. It's called Why Tongues. David's going to grab it for you right there. So praise God. Well, glory to God. Amen. Amen. I just made my night. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.